Greetings to each one of you in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been a joy to be here this morning, just in worshiping together. Just in the heart of worship that I sensed here this morning was a blessing to my heart and an encouragement to me. Just the beauty of holiness, the beauty of worship. In a setting like this is very beautiful. And I thought of the, we sang this song, 697, just the first and the last verse there. I would just read that, kind of a prayer that I had on my heart as I come forward here to share the Word of God this morning. I want a principle within of watchful, godly fear, a sensibility of sin, a pain to feel it near. Help me first approach to feel of pride or wrong desire, to catch the wandering of my will and quench the kindling fire. Almighty God of truth and love, to me thy power impart. The burden from my soul remove, the hardness from my heart. O may the least omission pain my reawakened soul and drive me to that grace again which makes the wounded whole. And that spoke to my heart as I read that first and last verse there. And so I just wanted to pray here before I begin, and so everyone that would desire to could stand and I'll pray. Lord, as I quiet my heart here this morning, just looking to you, Lord, today for a few words from your throne room, a few words from your scriptures, Lord, to feed my soul, to feed the souls of those who are here this morning, Lord. We thank you for what our brother shared on the danger of lukewarmness. We thank you for that, and we pray that you would help us, Lord, to have that principle within, that just to move forward and to move onward and upward each day of our journey. And just to ask that you would calm my heart, Lord, and help me to share and to portray what you have laid upon my heart in a clear way. I just pray that you would edit the message that you've laid upon my heart for your glory. I thank you, Lord, that we're in a place where your preeminence is desired here among all of us. And so we want to just ask that you would come and minister and help and guide this morning. We love you and thank you for this opportunity to be together. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to praise God for this time together here this morning. I was just thinking of this week of many things, but I was one of the things that I was wanting to share here as an introduction just a bit is the divine influences in my life that many of you have been part of. And I just want to thank the Lord for that this morning, and I want to thank you for that as well, that that God is faithful and He wants to lead us on. And yeah, we have, you know, when we have strayed, when I have strayed, it seems God knew just when to send the right brother to help and to guide over these years going by. And so I want to thank God for that this morning. I just want to thank my family too. It was a surprise to me that I didn't know any of them were coming this morning. And I walk in and they're all sitting there, so thank you for coming and being a blessing here. So this morning I wanted to start with back in about 1971, between 71 and 73, there was two men, David and Jonas Knoll, they were on a bus. And they were driving through, I'm not sure exactly which area here, but somewhere in the Burn area. They were on a bus, and they were traveling near Burn, and they were bachelors, and they were deciding where the Lord would have them stop and where they would have them live. And up until that point, they had both been living together as bachelors. They had never married, and their mother lived in Arkansas, but they were wanting to travel the countryside, do different things. And God was working in their heart. My dad's testimony is that he feels like he was born again at age 14. One night he woke up and the Lord was pressing on his heart, and he feels like at that time in his life he surrendered his heart to the Lord Jesus and had peace after that. So David and Jonas were coming through this area, and up until that, they had no plans of stopping here. But when they got in the Burn area, for some reason, David, my stepdad, he told me one day he never felt nothing like it, or he never planned it, but he had this overwhelming urge that he should get off the bus in this area and stay here. And his brother, he said, no, I don't want to stay here. He wanted to go on. And so it was hard for them because they were very close. They had done everything together. They trained horses together. They traveled together. And that day, there was an inclination, or I believe it was likely the Holy Spirit working in his life. And just he got off the bus and he started going around, the community, deciding where he'd live. Well, it ends up he bought a place down here just south of Burn on 850, just left of 27 there, second place on the right. And he lived there for a number of years. I actually drove by there yesterday on my way down. It was interesting. I think the porch posts that he knocked out with his car the first time he drove it, they're still there. And he got down close to his house, and he thought he pressed on the gas instead of the brake and went right up into the porch. But but anyway, and so he had, so after he had stopped here, and so he began to, he loved horses, so he worked with some of the Amish in his community, training horses, shoeing horses, etc. And then they had a need for a driver, so he began to drive for them. And then he went up to, one day he took a load of ministers. This was probably about in 78. And these dates are general, so they're not accurate or 100% solid. But anyway, sometime in 78, he took a load of Amish ministers that had wanted to go to Allen County and talk with some bishops up there about some church things going on. And so as he went up there, my grandfather, Graber, was a minister, so they drove in there. And while they were having their meeting, he liked horses, and so he got out and started walking around the farm, the barn, and it must have been chore time. And so my mom was being a young widow. She was in a cow stable, and they were milking with her siblings. And so that was the first time her and my stepdad had met after my dad passed away. And so there's something happened in that first meeting where he began to stop by there for whatever reason. It just seemed like he found reasons to stop by there. And it seems God was working and God was in it. And as he was, somehow they got to meeting each other under the radar, or the parents didn't really know it, which looking back probably wasn't the best, But so they, things progressed. My mom moved back home to her place, and she decided, they decided to get married. Well, they asked for permission from the bishop there in Allen County, and he said, well, go to Burn, talk to those bishops down there. Well, he went to Burn, and then the bishops in Burn said, go back to Allen County and talk to them. So it was kind of a back and forth thing there because of various reasons. And but anyway, so they couldn't really find any help. No one thought that he could become, one of them. And so one day they went to the courthouse and got married. And I didn't know that until much, much later, but my grandmother actually went with them. She went with them up there, even though it was against their wishes. But so that in 79, my mom and dad got married, and I was about, I think about 10 years old, something like that. And that's kind of where God began to work in my life. Over the next number of years, even though I didn't get converted till a lot later than that, I see these as divine influences that God was using in my life. First thing that I remember, him and my grandfather would talk about assurance of salvation. And that was a very hot topic. Of course, my grandfather said, no, you could never know if your sins are forgiven. And my dad believed that you could. And then they would talk and read the scriptures. And stepping back just a little bit, in his time here in Bern, he had become part of a church. And I don't know what church it was. It was, I would consider it a New Testament church where they had required a believer's baptism of him. And he actually drove his horse and buggy to that church at times. But anyway, that the church kind of fell apart, and he kind of found himself without a church. But it seems like there was a work in his heart and life at that time in this area somewhere, where there was a group of believers that that were endeavoring to follow Jesus Christ. But going on there, so him and my father, my grandfather, would have conversation at various times about whether you could be saved or not, whether you could know that you have your sins are forgiven. And then the second thing that would always come up about the prayer book. You know, he said he never would use the prayer book that the Amish use. He always told them that he could not do that. And there was a point of contention in my parents' home. And I think it was caused strife in the home, in which, you know, I looking on, it was unnecessary, but it happened. And so the prayer book was the second thing, and then brings me to the point of my message this morning, and that is the words we speak. At that time, we were in a culture where extra words, by words, any kind of words, you know, would come forth in a family setting. No one even thought anything about it. Just words that should never be talked about. And he began to try to correct that in our home, and which I'm eternally thankful for later in my life, that I didn't grow up in a home where there was all kinds of slang words and, you know, all the words that are used, the four-letter words that are used in many homes. And so he pressed back on that, and it got a lot of response. People, it wasn't well received. I'll just put it that way. And then the fourth thing was singing hymns. Singing hymns while working. So as he worked in our pallet shop, he would sing hymns. And then he would always take his hat off because he wanted to praise God while he was working. Well, that was very it was not accepted. And so they began to, some of my uncles that worked there began to work in him, on him about why he wouldn't wear his hat, etc. But anyway, he began to talk to my uncles about some of the love songs that they would sing, some of the foolish songs, and of course there was more strife. You know, it was not well received, not understood, and so it was a very, traumatic time for me as a young boy because of all the strife that it created. Looking back, I see it as divine influences. My dad would read the Bible to us every day, which was not common in our area at all. Every morning after breakfast, he would get the Bible. And he would open from Genesis to Revelation and read the scripture to us as a family, of which I'm very thankful of today. So some of my uncles, they would sing love songs, and he would rebuke them for it. And like I said, it caused a lot of struggle there. And so this morning, I think of that. I know each one of you, if you would think of the divine influences in your life and the reason that you're here this morning, what all had to take place, what all happened in your life. It's thought provoking, and it's God's direction. And sometimes the hard things that we face are God's mercy, just helping us to be more like Him. And so this morning, as we consider that, you know, just going on a bit there, you know, in the early 2000s, late 90s, you know, I remember hearing my mom talk about these people in Bern, and she talked about Laverne Troyer, and you know, those people were not anyone that I knew. And then later in life, you know, the Lord brought us together in a way. Brother Eden came up and helped us as a church for a number of years, and I just want to thank you for that. May the Lord bless you for those divine influences that you allowed the Lord to use you in that way. There was a lot of difficulty in those times. But as I think of coming down here back at Spring Hill, that small basement church where we came for a time, and it's the words you spoke that changed us. It's the words that you spoke and said, why don't we start a church in Allen County? You know, because we had full intents and we just wanted to come to Bern and just leave it all behind, you know. But it wasn't long. You wanted us to start meeting up there, and brothers would come up and share. And Sundays, you know, I don't remember who all they were, but all you brothers that are here this morning and some that aren't here, you know, may we consider that as well. I think Randy and some of those, Elmer. But anyway, this morning I was just pondering over that, and I just wanted to take this opportunity, just a little backdrop here of what God has done in your lives and how He has used you in our lives. And I just want to thank God for that here. But these words that we speak this morning, you know, they're very important. I think for a title here this morning, I would like to use "A Wholesome Tongue is a Tree of Life." It's out of Proverbs 15:4, the first half of the verse. And so I just thought I would illustrate that here a little bit this morning. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. So may we consider that this morning. And I don't know, you know, what all the Lord is going to use, all the divine influences that the Lord's going to use in your lives for the future. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Proverbs 15:4. So this morning, as we consider that, you know, may the Lord help us to whatever difficult situation that we're facing. May it be just recognize that it may be painful today, but God is working. He is working. So John chapter 6. Verse 60-64. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. They are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. So as we think of the words we speak, that tree of life, you know, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And I was thinking of Jesus' words there where he told his disciples and they didn't understand it. He says, you know, these words that I'm speaking are spirit and they are life. And I think that was what was happening in our community with my dad. He was speaking with my grandfather and my uncles and they were not understanding it. And so it was causing strife and struggle. And yet the gospel was being preached. The gospel was going forth. Jesus' words were spirit and life-carrying lessons to the innocent being, to the innermost being of the heart. The Spirit is fitted to quicken and nourish the soul. It is from heaven to produce or give life to the soul dead in sin. You know, that's what Jesus was talking about. He was saying that that Spirit and that life that he's talking about there, he said it's going to quicken. It's going to make alive. It's going to bring life into that those who are dead in sins this morning. You know, the flesh, it's your carnal views and desires. You know, that flesh, it says it profiteth nothing. Would not avail to the real needs of man. The bread that Moses gave, the food which he seek would not be of real value to man's highest wants. The natural will never satisfy. He was trying to illustrate that to the disciples. And they were missing the point. Jesus' words are life, are fitted to produce or give life to the soul that's dead in sins. So when Jesus said, these words that I speak, he said, they are spirit and they are life. You think of our tongues. Proverbs 17:27 says, He that hath knowledge spareth his words. You know, you think of the positive side of speaking and the negative side. I want to talk a little bit about both here this morning. You know, the positive side is to bless with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to curse is to cause to stumble. Or to withhold the truth. The mouth of a righteous man is a fountain or a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 10, verse 11. Words carry great significance. The universe was created with a spoken word, Genesis 1:1. Jesus healed and cast out demons with a word. Rulers have risen and fallen by their words. Christians have worshiped through words of song like we did this morning. Beautiful. And the eyes of our understanding can perceive and understand. Confession of sin, preaching the word of God. Relationships center on the words we speak. You know, you can probably think of words that you can remember growing up. You know, I can remember words that I, growing up, that, you know, we'd have a lantern and we'd carry it out to the barn in early mornings to milk the cows or go out after supper to bed the horses or whatever. There's those words that you can remember growing up. They were positive and some were negative. But anyway, my one uncle that lives next door to us, there was one day when he was having conversation with my dad in the pallet shop about him, his assurance of salvation and his desire to sing hymns and various other things. And so he became very angry that day. And so he told my dad some very harsh things. And one of them was that I happen to remember. He said that that when he's at home at night, he said he makes mental lists of people that he thinks are good and are upright in the community. And he also makes lists of people that he thinks are very low on his list. And he gave a really nasty word for that list that I won't repeat here this morning. Praise God. But he told him that I have a list, and he said it's really long. And he said, I just want you to know, Dave, he said that you are at the bottom, on the far right, at the bottom of the last list. That's where you're at on my relationship with you. And but I feel like my dad used him in a way of just being non-resistant. He did not argue with him or lash out at him. He basically just continued on with life. And so those are things that happened that I saw. And you know, what do you think of when you think of a person that has just died? We think often of what was the last thing he said. What were my last words with that person? What were the last words that they spoke? You know, the tongue is an amazing member. You know, when you go to the doctor, he'll tell you, open your mouth, and he'll put, you know, he wants to look at your tongue. And I understand, you know, I'm not a doctor, but they can tell if you have fever or if you have, you know, liver, heart, or stress, respiratory problems, you know, infection. All those things are discerned. Many things are discerned by looking in the mouth, in the tongue. And so it is an amazing member. And 1 Peter 2:22, it says, he was guilty of no sin, speaking of Jesus. Neither was deceit or guile ever found on his lips. He never sinned with his mouth. That's our Lord and Savior. He never sinned with his lips. You know, the power of the gospel, salvation, faith comes by hearing. You know, if there was no tongues, there would be no preaching, no hearing of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and it would not be possible without words. Moses in Numbers 20, verse 11, he was told to speak to the rock, but he struck the rock. He didn't do what God had called him to do. I believe he was maybe angry. We read many accounts of Anabaptists who had their tongues cut out because it was portraying a convicting message of the truth of the gospel. The tongues were cut and screwed fast. I think of Dirk Willems. You know, how he chose to return good for evil. His captors were on his heels, going across this pond. And Dirk made it across. And his captor fell through. And yet he went back. And he pulled him out of that cold, dark water. And he lost his life through it. But God is glorified. If he would have chose a different path, I wouldn't be standing here this morning telling this story about how when he was burned at the stake sometime later, when they lit the fire, the wind changed and blew it away from his body. And it's my understanding they could hear him cry from a great distance away. He would just say, my God and my Lord and my God, something like that. Just crying out. Begging the Lord to just come quickly. And yet he could have very easily just kept right on running that morning. But he chose to return good for evil. So this morning we want to do that. We want to do what Jesus taught in that way. I want to turn over to James chapter 3, speaking of the tongue. The dangers of the tongue. My brethren, verse 1, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. I sometimes tremble when I read that passage. He's speaking of teachers. He's speaking of those who share the Word of God or who preach. So that's why we want to be careful what we preach, how we preach. That it's true and it's right and it's not tainted with untruth. But that we come with the truth of God's Word. Because those who teach will have a greater requirement or a greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all, and if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, and that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds and serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can fig trees, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt and fresh water. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So as we consider that this morning, is my tongue bridled? Is my tongue bridled this morning? Thought-provoking question from my own heart. May the Lord help us with that. Romans 3, verse 19 and 20. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So we read there that God cares about what comes out of our mouth. And it's sobering words this morning to think about. So this morning, I wanted to share this little riddle here that has been convicting to my own heart. It goes like this. It says, who am I? I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cruel and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I'm nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments, ruin marriages. I destroy careers, cause heartache and sleepless nights. I wreck churches and separate Christians. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. Make innocent people cry on their pillows. I make a mountain out of a molehill by adding some dirt. Even my name hisses. I am gossip. Just thought-provoking as I considered that this morning, how that the Lord teaches us, you know, how to use our mouth, how to use it and how to not use it. And so may the Lord help us with that. You know, our mouth controls, or our tongue, you know, God wants control of our mouth. Verse 3 there, it says, if we set bits in horses' mouths to make them obey us, we can turn the whole bodies about. So just using an old-fashioned illustration there. And I believe this morning, if God can control what you say, He can control the rest of you. And so may we give the Holy Spirit full control over my tongue. The tongue is the only muscle in the human body that works without any support from the skeleton. It's many muscles together. I've read it's the strongest muscle in the entire body. You know, Proverbs 10:19 says, you know, where there's many words, there wanteth not sin. You know, that tongue was divided. I think that was one of the qualifications in the, I think it's for the deacon maybe, or an elder. It says, not double-tongued. Not double-tongued. You know, what that means is basically talking out of both sides of your mouth. You know, the blue whale, think of his tongue. His tongue, I understand, weighs 5,400 pounds. Thought-provoking. I believe at conversion, our speech also should be changed. No slander, insults, gossip. Can we be like Jesus and never sin with our mouth? Proverbs 18. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. That strokes there is blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. That's basically slander or gossip. So Proverbs talks about that from the time past. So the beautiful thing is this morning that, you know, silence is not always the thing that, or the option that God wants us to give. Because there's times when He wants us to open our mouth and to share the rebuke and to share the thing that God wants us to share to change the course of a life or a soul. You know, when we were little children, I can remember that was one thing my mom taught me is, you know, don't stick out your tongue when you get upset. You know, little children at times when I was growing up, they'd get upset and they would open their mouth and stick their tongue out. Just think about that. In Tibet, it's considered a greeting to stick your tongue out. True humility is godly wisdom. You know, just to recognize that humility is God's wisdom. It helps us to be wise. And the mouth of the righteous is a fountain. So I just want to thank the Lord for that, for His Word this morning that teaches us how we should use this member called a tongue. You know, it's my understanding that the suicide rate is at the third highest is for youth or young people that have been, you know, something verbal came at them and they couldn't cope with it or handle it. And I think that's in society. And so just recognizing the power of a word, the power of a spoken word. So this morning, as we consider that, you know, a loving heart produces a gracious tongue, a faithful heart, a truthful tongue. But you know, an ungrateful heart, it's a grumbling tongue. A bitter heart is a sharp tongue. So help us to remember that. A critical heart produces a critical tongue. So as we consider that God wants to use our tongues here this morning, let's just go to Him and ask Him to help us with that. Proverbs 16:28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. So a froward mouth. What is a froward mouth? It's a difficult to deal with. It's perverse. You know, let's think of the amount of words that we can speak. It seems that as you study this, the average man could use 7,000 words a day. The average woman, 20,000. You know, you think of the amount of words that, you know, can come out of a mouth in a day's time. I think it's up to 90 words a minute. If I remember reading that right. And then Jesus said this. He said, we are going to give an account for every word, every unnecessary word that we speak. So that should sober my heart here this morning. First Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile or deceit. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Here's that verse I was talking about, Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Sobering words this morning. It's easy to, for me at times, to say more than I should. And so I'm asking the Lord to continue to help me with that. Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, just laying an axe to the root. You know, Jesus talked about that, you know, with the Pharisees, John the Baptist was talking about that one day as he was baptizing. He was saying, lay an axe to the root. And I think we can do that, you know, with our tongue. Is just ask the Lord, just ask Him to lay an axe, to help us in full repentance, to repent of what we're talking about here this morning, those words that are unnecessary, the gossip and the unnecessary words, the angry words, the perverseness. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. It's a verse I have on the board up here. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Thinking of the children of Israel, how they were judged at various times for the murmurings. Oh, this manna that we have, we're tired of it, and we're tired of this, and we're tired of that. And I know it's easy for me to complain. I know it is. But I'm asking the Lord to help me to lay an axe to the root of that and to commit it to Jesus Christ. Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is an excellent spirit, is of an excellent spirit. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. There's a little story here of Nelson Mandela, passed on a few years ago. It says he opposed the South African apartheid regime and was imprisoned for almost 3 decades. He knew the power of words. He is often quoted today. But while in prison, his words could not be quoted for fear of repercussion. A decade after his release, he said, it is never my custom to use words lightly. If 27 years in prison have done anything to us, it was to use the silence of solitude to make us understand how precious words are and how real speech is in its impact on the way people live and the way people die. So may the Lord remind us of that. Of, you know, words should be precious in our hearts. And Jesus is teaching on how that the words of anger that come out, it quickly moves into hate and murder and killing. We see that on the streets of the cities around us. We see that all the time. And it is sobering that it starts with hatred in the heart. And then it's expressed in the deeds that come forth. Matthew 5:21. You have heard that it was said of men of old, you shall not kill, and whosoever kills shall be unable to escape the punishment imposed by the court. That's another translation there. I think that was the Amplified. But I'll just turn over there to Matthew chapter 5. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of the hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come to offer thy gift. Jesus is teaching there on how quickly, you know, things can move in the wrong direction. Just to recognize that it is an evil heart that is angry. So in closing here, I just want to say that, you know, I know over these number of years that I was talking about here, I have been, God has been doing a work in my heart. Seems like slowly, more slowly than I would like, and I think it's often because of me. But I just want to thank the Lord that, you know, there's times, you know, especially in the early years where I would get really offended easily, and I would get, you know, just not be able to communicate clearly because of that. And so I just thank the Lord that He's done a work in my heart in that way of just not taking offense and just being open and willing to talk. And so I just thank you for your patience with me on that. And I just think of the Acts 20, verse 32 here in closing. It says, "And now, brethren, I commit to you God." Yeah, I don't want to read it in that version here. Let me go over here to Acts 20, verse 32. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel." Yeah, that's just Paul's words there. He was just, you know, preparing that for to leave this earth. And he was just telling them that, you know, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when He had thus spoken, He kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship." So we know this morning that, you know, Jesus said, the words that I speak, these words that we have here in this book, they are spirit and they are life. And as we embrace that, you know, God wants to help us and to guide us through the difficult things. So I just want to say I thank each one of you brothers here in the church and for your divine influences in my life over these number of years, and I just want to praise God for it. God bless.